Time to go motoring with James Ward, the content director for drive.com.au. There's always something to go brum brum about, and we're going to do that right now. Oh, actually, James, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, mate. How are you?
Not so much brum brum with our first story. It's more like...
Yeah. How do you do an electric car noise for the next generation of kids? This is the thing.
They won't get it. Tesla has laid off 10% of its worldwide workforce. Mm. Wow. What's happened? I take it people aren't buying these cars anymore.
Yeah, look, it's sort of a bit of yes and bit of no there. Like, Tesla's still the number one electric vehicle brand in the world, but the Chinese are catching them up. And I think it's this whole thing of where, you know, you've got shareholders and investors to play to. You do need to look at cost lines occasionally. And I think it's something about 14,000 people around the world. And
Yeah. It
sounds like an awful lot. And I think even the report is that they all got an email and basically, you know, from Elon Musk to say, don't come Monday. Which, you know, it sounds pretty dystopian, but it is where some of these things are going. Because you look at some of these big Tesla factories, they're all highly automated. And so the idea that this company is expanding its scale to build the cars, but they need less people to do the same amount of construction. But as you say, you know, the reality of not being the number one and in a high growth phase does mean that you do need to look at where you are. So we are... seeing, I think BYD is looking to be the largest electric vehicle manufacturer this year. So they're based in China.
Who are they? Who are they and what do they sell?
So they sell, well, predominantly they are a battery company. But here you've got BYD. They launched with the Atto 3, which is like a little small SUV. They've got the Dolphin, which is a small electric hatchback. And they've got the Seal, which is an electric sedan. And they're about to launch the Seal U and a Ute, both of which are hybrid in the market. So they're not only plain EV, they're doing hybrid stuff. But on a global scale, BYD are I think China's largest battery manufacturer. So like Tesla, they're looking outside of the vehicles and actually supplying the energy that is being used, but they are the other big giant in this space. So look, it's an interesting thing. We saw during the week too that a lot of people are putting off a move to an electric car just for cost of living, thinking, well, even though it'll cost me less to fill it up, I don't really know what tomorrow's going to bring, so I might hold on to my current car for a bit longer. And we know that certainly in Australia and in the US, we're seeing a lot of people say, let's wait for the next generation or let's wait for the charging infrastructure to catch up.
And let's wait and see what happens with hydrogen. I see more hybrids than I do electric cars on the road. Is that just me?
No, you're spot on. And globally, we're seeing that hybrid sales are moving faster than electric sales because everyone's sort of gone, you know what, with a hybrid, you've got it with your wife's car where you just fill it up with petrol, yep. But it's just really efficient. And so you don't need to be plugging it in. You don't need to use charging infrastructure. You've just got a more cost-effective car to run. And for a lot of people, particularly in countries like Australia and the US, where you do have some pretty significant miles to drive, a hybrid does tend to work a little bit better than an electric for a lot of people. So it is an interesting, and like we keep saying, it's an evolving space.
Look, I've got to say this. I bought it for Nikki because she doesn't do many Ks. She drives really around in our postcode. And she was lugging a V6 Suzuki Grand Vitara. And we don't need the 7 seats anymore. And so I got her something special because she deserves it. That was November last year. Remember that? 19th of November.
Yeah, yeah.
She's filled it up. No, she's never filled it to the top.
Yeah.
She's put petrol in it 5 times since November.
And this is the thing. Remember when you'd fill up a couple of times a week when you had a 6-cylinder, an 8-cylinder Commodore? We're getting far more efficient cars on a regular scale, right? So the idea that everybody is looking at electric as the saviour, when in fact... A smaller capacity hybrid car is actually giving you a far greater kind of level of flexibility while being able to, you know, save the environment and save on fuel at the same time.
James Ward is with us. We're talking motoring. James is with drive.com.au. Hey, James, two for two. The Ford Ranger, folks, is Australia's most popular new and used car for March. Wow.
Yeah, this is the thing. And for buyers too, let's remember the Ford Ranger is basically an Australian car. It was designed here. It was developed here. It was engineered here. So Ford Australia still does all of this stuff for the Ranger as a global model. They were doing testing around Geelong in Victoria. They were doing a lot of stuff around on Victorian and New South Wales roads and up into the Northern Territory for hot weather testing. It is built in Thailand, but everything else with the Ranger was done here. So look, that new car, it won our Drive Car of the Year last year for 2023. It's still it won the best ute over $50,000 this year because it really is a jack of all trades. It can do so many things for so many people. It's comfortable, it's safe, it's full of tech, it's very practical, and it can kind of go pretty much everywhere. So it's kind of interesting. Well, it's not really a surprise, I suppose, when you say that they're the most popular new car, but they're also hugely popular on the second-hand market. So that's great news. If you have one, it means it's holding its value really well.
Wasn't there a time when the Toyota Hilux was thought to be untouchable, or am I getting that wrong?
No. Well, Ranger and Hilux have been duking it out at the top of the sales chart for years, but the Ranger is really slowly but surely edging in front. And I think that the Hilux hasn't had an update anywhere near as recently as the Ranger has. We've seen enhancements and things, and the new GR Sport Hilux is the most improved yet, but it's still a relatively old platform, whereas the Ranger is basically brand new. So when Toyota comes out with a new model, we suspect that they'll be looking at a hybrid system in that vehicle when it comes. We know that there's a mild hybrid basically coming sort of now. There will be a bit more to expect from the Toyota as it comes. But at the moment, the Ranger's kind of got everything where it needs it, and buyers can't get enough.
All right, there you go. Some interesting stuff. James Ward, always fascinating. What have you got coming up on Channel 9 soon?
So this week, I think you've got me driving around the Victorian Latrobe Valley in a Mercedes-Benz GLC. And then next week, Emma takes you to Sydney to find the most Instagrammable locations around the harbour. So, and a few more bits and pieces coming up.
And by the way, I noticed that Mercedes-Benz are recalling some cars, 20,000 luxury cars, over potentially dangerous power steering issues. I don't know if that's going to affect many of our listeners, but what's going on here?
Yeah, so look, it's quite interesting when you see these recall notices come out and they've got so many vehicles attached to them, everyone thinks, oh my God, these things are, there's problems. But in fact, because these are global cars, usually this is an identified fault that comes through from a different market, and it's a way of basically improving and making sure the cars that are on the road are safe. So if you do get a recall, don't panic. Go and check and see if your car is the vehicle identification number, the VIN, is applied to the recall. You can book it into whichever brand you have. You book it into your local dealer and they fix it for you for free. And it's one of those things, it's very, very rare to see some of these instances happen here in our market. For the most part, if they're talking about a risk, it's kind of this thing may happen, and if that happens, then this may happen, and if that happens, it may cause a fire or do something. It kind of is a worst case scenario that may possibly happen in one example in the world, but they just have to fix all the vehicles to do it. So look, you do see them quite regularly. Recalls come through. We try to stay on top of all of them for all the brands, but it is just something that tries to help improve your car and keep it safer for longer.
Thank you so much, mate. Always good to talk to you. You and I will talk again next week. And in the meantime, see you on the telly.
You will indeed. I look forward to it.
James Ward, content director for drive.com.au.